Now, on a sunny spring morning, the lives of a father and two small children tragically changed forever. From a murder trial to the rebuilding of lives, the book of our first guest is a journey that nobody wants to take. To tell us all about it, welcome to the show, Michael Ross. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Selena.
Now, thanks so much for joining us and agreeing to talk. I know it's a difficult subject, but you have put this all into a book. Just 5 minutes more, I think we can probably guess what the title means. But I know that you're also keen to say that the first half of the book is quite graphic and explains in detail what happened. But the second part explains how positive you became and how you got to where you are now.
That's right. I mean, it was important for me to have both parts in the book. I mean, I think a lot of people don't have this, it's not a morbid fascination, but, you know, when something horrible like this happens, they want to know, well, what happens on the day? How do you find out? What do you do once it happens? And so I decided to put that in the first part of the book. So it gives people just an idea of what happens from day one. And actually, on that day one, she went off for a power walk with her dog. And, you know, she was due back by a certain time, and she wasn't back. And I thought, well, as we all do, you know, we've got loved ones or friends or family that we're due to meet. And if they're about 15 minutes late, you don't tend to worry. It's there at the back of your head, but you let it go on. Then it can go to half an hour. Then it goes to an hour. And then you begin to get a little bit worried. And that's what we all reach that stage with, waiting for people. In this case, obviously, it went on a lot longer, and I had to decide after quite a long time. We're looking now at about 2.5 hours later than she should have been. Well, what do you do? So I had my plan. I had my plan, which was to phone the police, walk one of her routes, and maybe drop the two boys, who were 4 and 6 at the time, at their godmother's. Well, I kept putting that off, because I just felt that any second now, she's going to walk through the door, I'm going to feel really silly, and then I'm going to be really embarrassed and everything else. But no, I had to do it. So we came up to about, it was around about 11:15, and I kept trying the phone, went into the answer machine, then tried 11:25. I said, right, I'm going to phone one more time, just 5 more minutes, hence the name of the book. And so I rang the number, and it was answered. And it was answered with a man's voice I didn't recognize. So that puts it all as to what happens in that first stage, and you wonder what's happening next. As it happened, that man's voice was a policeman who'd found Jackie. So then you go through this state of, you've got, I'm a prime suspect because I'm the husband, but you get eliminated quite quickly. So there's a police investigation. Then they've got to find the person who did it. Then once they found out, there was an 11-month murder trial. So all this time, I had a business, and Jackie had a business. So I'm trying to run that, trying to protect and help the boys in every way I could. I mean, obviously, they were my priority. But by the end of that year, at the end of the press conference, at the very end of the trial, I suddenly sat and I thought, right, well, what do I do now? And then, hence, that's now the second part of the book.
Right.
Which is where we went from there.
Okay. Just going back, because we're talking 13 years ago, this happened in 2005. Yeah. And as you say, the boys were only 4 and 6. How do you tell them what's happened?
Well, you know, there's one thing about that. Well, I must just say at this stage that the police were absolutely amazing.
Good.
I mean, there were all sorts of resources there that I could use. And one was a family therapist, and I was told I could phone her at any time if I wanted any advice on what to do with the boys. Now, the way that it worked with Jackie, unfortunately, was that the damage to her brain was so severe, she'd had to have part of her brain removed anyway, was that in 9 days, she became what they call brain dead. So I knew the day before they could write out the death certificate that she was dead, and I had to tell the boys, and I thought, I'm going to tell them tomorrow morning. So I phoned this therapist up, and she said to me, well, the six-year-old, he will react as a little adult. He will be fine, he will give you that reaction, he'll get upset, and you'll need to comfort him. That was fine. But don't expect anything like it with the four-year-old. They're so young, the development is so young, that you may not expect the reaction you want. And in fact, she was absolutely right, because I sat Ollie on my knee, I told him, you know, everything about it in the nicest possible way, that his mummy's now in heaven, and he turned to me and says, Daddy, can I play on PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, and it was also important that the therapist said, well, it's really important for you to talk about a mother, talk about Jackie, have photographs around, because even again, at that age, he won't have any idea of what, in a sense, a mummy was.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, photographs of her, and we've always had, and we always sort of talk to her at the back of our minds, and we have this conversation, and we celebrate her birthdays and so on. So she's very much still a part of our lives.
And Ben, who was six, how did he react?
He got very upset. He listened very intently, and then and got very upset. Now, you know, the thing is, Selena, that, believe this or not, we were all children at one time.
Mm.
And children have a great way of dealing with things. It's almost as if they're unfeeling. They just take on board this information that they want to take on board, and then they accept it, and that's that. Well, he'd been going to school, you know, and they were regularly talking about the fact that his mum was dead, and yet the mothers and myself on the background listening to this, we were getting upset because we thought, oh, is this right? But it is right. When I told him, he got very upset, and but seemed to accept. I mean, I said to him that we just couldn't, the doctors just couldn't do anything to help her, and that the best place for her to be was up in heaven, and he accepted it.
Mm. It's probably, in some ways, a blessing that they were so young because of the acceptance.
Yeah.
Do you know why she was killed? Why this happened? Was it just a random killing?
It was a random thing. Again, problems with human beings are that they come up with all sorts of rumours, and rumours were running rife. To be honest with you, one of the main rumours around was that she'd seen this guy and had been a witness in a court case against him, so it was his way of getting her back. No, let's get it all absolutely fact here. He was a young guy from a criminal family whose, what turned him on was violence towards women. He'd been in a prison for 4 years, supposedly, was let out after two, wasn't followed and monitored as he should have been by the probation service, and been out on a night of drinking drugs, was on a part of the Peat Forest Canal, which is where we live, waiting for an unsuspecting woman to walk by, and that is exactly what happened.
He was caught, presumably.
Yeah, well, you know what? Even amongst the criminal fraternity, they have their moral codes, and they didn't like the fact that this guy, with such violence, murdered this young woman with small children. Mm. And in fact, the police's biggest leads came from the criminal fraternity in the area that we live. And they, because, you know, at the first 2 weeks of an investigation, are very, all resources are pumped in, but very soon that money gets cut back. So the police have to work very hard to get it. But through the criminal fraternity, the police have their huge lead. So they found the guy, yes.
And you mentioned where we live. Are you still living in the same house?
Yes, I do live in the same house. I mean, you know, Jackie and I bought it. We spent all, you know, it's one of those things where you build up a house and you look at the views all the time. But, you know, it was a shell by the time we'd had to sort of sort everything out with it. So, and one of the things at the very beginning when it had all happened, when we had a lot of the press here and so on, and from our window, we overlook a valley called the Strines Valley. It's absolutely beautiful. But in that Strines Valley, at one side, you can see the area where Jackie was attacked, where the murderer would have run, up another road, across to his father's house, where then he was hid. So people say, I can't believe he's still living there. But, you know, that wouldn't beat us, really. We wanted to accept the beauty of the place. Sounds a little corny, this, but it's true. And we can look out now and not think about horrible things that happened there. We can just see the beauty of the place.
Yeah, and I suppose in a way you're still close to her as well.
Well, we are. I mean, like I said, we've always talked to her. We've always remembered the days, her birthdays and Mother's Day, which we had recently. Never really wanted to remember the day she died. I didn't think that was the right way for the boys, really. So, she's very much a part of my life and our lives. I think both the boys have them, have photographs of her around their beds. I mean, my middle son now he's got his own business, and he lives probably about half an hour away, but he's got photographs of her there. When we do the Christmas tree, all get together for Christmas, we don't have a fairy. I don't stand on the top anymore of this Christmas tree, but we have a lovely photograph of Jackie at the top. So she's our princess at the top there. So we keep her in our minds all the time.
Wonderful. And they are doing so well. I've got here that Ben runs his own fitness business. Ollie is studying photography. So you must be very, very proud of the boys.
I am, actually. People always say they're so polite. I said, well, you know, that's great. and I am. And they're doing really, really well. I mean, I'd like to think that possibly a little bit of that has come from me. I'm always trying to be very positive and look for the better things rather than the horrible side of things. And that you can succeed. You put your mind to it. You will get to where you want to get in the end.
Well, I think
so
it
that then leads on. Sorry, Celine.
That's okay. I was just going to say it must have come from you because you had to become both mum and dad.
Well, I there's certain things you do when you touch on your feminine side. I wasn't going to put any lipstick on or anything like this, but I thought maybe but I thought you need, you know, there were little things like, for example, if there's a mum and dad and they've got a little boy and he falls down, he grazes his knee, the dad says, well, you'll be okay, come on, you don't need to cry anymore, just wipe it off, you'll be fine. The mother will put her on the knee and she'll cuddle him and say it's okay and wipe his tear away. So it's a combination of all this. And so I very quickly learnt to do that. I was quite a practical guy anyway, so I was able to shop and stitch and do all these sort of, and knit, and I think my mother must have wanted a daughter rather than a son, but I did all this sort of stuff. And I've always looked, as part of the thing to help you through these things, is looking for humour. And there is humour, Selena, believe it or not. Even in those 9 days Jackie was in ICU, at the very end, for example, she was, I'd been told she was brain dead. And then somebody came to me and said, well, was she religious? I said, well, she was a Roman Catholic. Okay, would you like to see the priest, the resident priest? Yeah, they're really nice, thank you. And this guy came in full of life, was very apologetic. He said, would you like me to conduct the last rites? And I said, I think that would be beautiful, thank you very much. And you see, Celine, I'm a Buddhist, and I live by Buddhist principles, and I thought it was really important for me to tell him I'm a Buddhist. So I said, look, Father, can I just tell you before we start, I need to tell you I'm a Buddhist. Stopped in his tracks, he came over to me, he held my head in his hands, looked in my eyes and said, well, you know, Michael, we can't all be perfect. And it just brought this laughter into it all. And even when he conducted the last rite and he says, Jackie, you're absolved of all your worldly sins, I started smiling because I just wanted him to include those little drunken binges we had in Gran Canaria before the children came along. And he turned around and he saw me smiling. And he said, what are you smiling at? So I told him. And when he was leaving, he says, well, you know, even those memories, don't matter what they are, if they bring back those thoughts of happy memories, you must keep remembering them.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. And I think some advice that we can pass on to our listener as well is a couple of things that you did to help the boys cope and probably to help you as well. You all made memory boxes when she passed.
Yes. That all came about through an organisation which actually was one of the lifesavers for me at the very beginning. It's called WAY, which stands for Widowed and Young.
Yes, we've interviewed them recently, actually.
I understand so. I think the you have to have a UK address for anybody who would like to get involved with them, but to give advice and that, they're all up for that, of course. But they were, and one of the things they suggested was to make memory boxes, so I got some special boxes which Jackie was able to get for them. And in there, we got all Jackie's things together, and yes, and you can choose what you want. And they've all chosen things like one of her perfumes, some lipstick, a pair of shoes, a pair of gloves, an article of clothing that they liked, a scarf, and so on. And even now, every so often, they'll just go up there, and you know what? It's not just the look and the texture of these things, because we've got the photographs of, say, Jackie wearing it, but it's the smell of the perfume on the scarf. and things like this, which it's very important for them. And yes, they're a very important part of our household.
And another thing you did is you bought a star, which you named after Jackie.
Yeah, we did. I mean, the funny thing is, it's very difficult when you've lost someone who's very much a part of your life, because there's a gap there, and you're trying to fill that gap. And I always use, for example, the idea of looking in the night sky. You see lots of stars there, but in one part of the sky, there's a little black smudge, and that black smudge is the person that was in your life here. And what you do is you think of happy memories and thoughts and so on, and over time, that little smudge starts to fill in with other stars. I thought, well, we'll buy a star anyway. I mean, it gets really awkward when we go out, when the boys were younger, and they said, and I'm looking at millions and millions of stars, which one is Mummy's star? Well, I just sort of point somewhere, and hopefully it's the right one we're looking at. It's not that easy. But yeah, and that was important to them too.
Well, I salute you, Michael. I really do. The book is called Just Five More Minutes by Michael Ross. It's on paperback and Kindle, and I believe it's out now. It came out last month, in February.
Yes, it is. It's everywhere in Amazon. And strangely enough, I've had a lot of requests for an audiobook. And
I
went through the rigmarole of auditioning actors to sort of read him. I thought, well, hang on a sec, I'm an actor.
You do it yourself.
So I auditioned myself, and luckily I got the part. So I'm going to be recording that in a couple of weeks' time.
I think it was a fix if you got the job.
You're probably right, Selena. You're probably right.
Just to let you know as well that if you go to tre.radio, our website, we've got a link to a bookshop on there, and you can buy it from there if you want to buy the book, Just Five More Minutes. Michael, thank you so much for sharing the story with us, and all my best to the boys.
It's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you, Selena.
Look forward to seeing you hopefully in August when you're over.
You bet.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.